This message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, tonight is Ash Wednesday, and some Lutheran congregations have the tradition of applying ashes to the foreheads of the members at the beginning of this service. The symbol is that we're reminded that from dust we are, and to dust we shall return. Or as we've heard at funeral, graveside burials, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's a reminder to us that we die because of sin, and therefore we need a Savior. And thank God we have that Savior in Jesus. But Ash Wednesday also reminds me of a time when I was serving a parish in St. Louis several years ago, and it was Ash Wednesday, and that congregation in St. Louis did have the tradition of applying ashes on the foreheads of people before the service of Ash Wednesday. Well, long story short, when the elder applied ashes to my forehead, some of the ashes kind of trickled down my nose, and when I tried to wipe them off, some of them got into my eye. And of course, the result was I couldn't see very well through that eye. My eye was burning, it was blurry. I was misjudging everything I saw through that eye. I couldn't see clearly. Well, the reason I tell you that story is that our sin is kind of like ashes infecting our spiritual eyes. When we look at things in this world, it's natural for us to misjudge what's really going on because we look at things from our sinful perspective rather than from the point of view of God's Word. And so we look at what is good and we distort its purpose, or we look upon what is beautiful and we misjudge its value. Well, in tonight's gospel reading, Jesus says, "When you give to the needy." So this means that Jesus assumes that Christians will give to the truly needy. But did you know that we sinners can be tempted to give to the needy for all the wrong reasons? For example, Jesus criticized those who gave to the needy in order to get praise from others. Jesus also rebuked others who prayed long-winded prayers in public and let everyone know that they were fasting. Why? Just so they could get praise from others. Now, in being praised and seen by others, they received the rewards that they were seeking, which was to be held in high esteem by other people. But you see, this is entirely self-serving. It's a godless approach to good works because it pays no thought to our Father in heaven. On the other hand, though, those who come to the Father through faith in His Son are moved by the Holy Spirit to repent of this sinful attitude and instead to view charity as a privilege and also as an opportunity to serve the neighbor and give glory to God. In fact, when we Christians help those in need, we're not even seeking a reward, are we? Jesus never says that rewards are why Christians do what they do. Now, certainly, God promises that He will reward the charity, prayer, and fasting of His children in various ways, but reward is not our motivation for doing those things. But sadly, our sinful nature misjudges God's will on this point, doesn't it? Sin's deep delusion is that good works must be done in order to be rewarded with eternal life. And my friends, that is the worst misjudgment we can make. But thanks be to God, on this Ash Wednesday, His Word, along with the liturgy and hymns, makes painfully clear our utter wretchedness and our desperate need for the forgiveness of our sins. What we need most is not to give to the needy or do any other good work in order to merit God's salvation. Instead, we need the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In tonight's reading from the Gospel of Mark, we heard these words. It was now 2 days before the Passover, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. The Passover and suffering of Jesus were just a couple days away. Jesus knew this, and he had repeatedly told his disciples that his death was drawing near. But unlike Jesus, the guests at Simon's dinner party didn't have their mind on the cross when an uninvited woman barged in, broke open a jar of perfume, and dumped it on Jesus' head. You know, there is artwork over the centuries that displays this scene. And the whole text suggests a suddenness and a clumsiness to what this woman did. For example, she just hastily broke open an alabaster jar of perfume. Now, you need to know that alabaster flasks weren't cheap. They were meant to be reused. But she smashes it open and renders it useless for the future. In addition, I don't picture her slowly and gently pouring the perfume on Jesus' head, but instead drenching him, leaving him blinking to squeeze out the drops falling into his eyes. And then, of course, there's the value of the ointment itself. Our text says that it could have been sold for more than 300 denarii. That would be roughly a year's wages for an average day laborer back then. Just think of it. No wonder the people who saw her do this thought that she was wasting this expensive perfume. In fact, the guests at Simon's dinner party were probably saying among themselves that this woman was being very impulsive. They were probably thinking, what's wrong with this woman? Is she out of her mind? I mean, she could have sold that perfume and given the money to the poor. What a waste! But they had misjudging eyes. Jesus, however, he always sees clearly. Jesus actually comes to this woman's defense and tells her critics to back off. You see, Jesus recognizes her clumsy, unceremonious, impulsive action as a beautiful work because it is a preparation for the most beautiful, noble, good deed in human history. Jesus' own suffering, death, and burial, all for us sinners. Now, don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful and good thing to give to the needy. God wants us to help the truly poor. But you see, when the incarnate Son of God is sitting at your dinner table, getting ready to suffer and die for the sin of the world in just a couple days, and then be entombed without proper anointing in his burial, well, then 300 denarii worth of ointment is no waste, but is rightly devoted to his honor. You see, what the dinner guests could not see was the sheer uniqueness, the tremendous weight of the moment that they were witnessing. For God's anointed Son was soon to give his body and shed his blood, to give his life as a ransom for the masses, to be the once-for-all Passover Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I'm sure that God the Father generously found other ways for the alms necessary to feed the poor of Bethany and Jerusalem on that day. Even as God was about to pour out the priceless blood of his beloved Son as a saving, healing ointment for sinners. And the Son of God went to the cross willingly to offer his life for us poor sinners that we might be blessed with the riches of his forgiveness and love. Now, when we think back to how that woman poured all that perfume over Jesus' head, we can imagine what an aroma it must have made in the house. Kind of like the way a dozen Easter lilies in a small room permeates the air with the smell of the resurrection. You see, in just a few days, Jesus would be hanging on a cross. And as the sweat and blood poured down his face, could he still smell the perfume that had prepared him for burial? In Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes these words, Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Did you hear that? The smell of Christ's holy person and atoning work turned away the wrath of God against sinners once and for all. In fact, in holy baptism, you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you have been anointed with the Holy Spirit to sanctify you and make you pleasing to the Father. The beautiful robe of Christ's righteousness has become yours, so that you need no longer fear eternal damnation in hell. For those who believe in Jesus, the power of sin, death, and Satan has been shattered like that broken alabaster flask, and you have been liberated from the realm of darkness to live forever in the kingdom of life. And until that glorious day, You get to live the rest of your earthly lives loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. My friends, that's what the unnamed woman was doing when she anointed Jesus with that expensive perfume. And what was her motivation? Her motivation was her faith in Jesus and her love for him. Because Jesus solemnly said, "Truly, I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." So you see, this woman was an integral part of the gospel story being fulfilled. And the gospel is always about forgiveness of sins being received through faith in Jesus. In fact, there was another time earlier in Jesus' ministry when he was anointed by another woman. This happened at the house of a Pharisee. Now, St. Luke reports that this woman was known around town as a sinner. She was probably a prostitute. But she heard Jesus preach, she repented of her sin, and then she showed up at the house of this Pharisee where Jesus had been invited for a meal, and what does she do? She anoints Jesus with her tears and wipes his feet with her hair. Now, Jesus concludes the story by saying that her loving action toward him was evidence that she had been forgiven much, because the one who's been forgiven much loves much. Well, surely this was also the case for the unnamed woman in our gospel reading tonight. And now, wherever the gospel of forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in all the world, this woman will be remembered for her faith in Jesus, her love for him, and her preparation for his death and burial. Now, having said all that, I have a question for you. Why doesn't Mark give us this woman's name? He doesn't mention her name. Why? Because at that moment, she was not the point. The point was Jesus and his saving work for us. This woman's anonymity also teaches us about how to approach good works ourselves. You see, she did not anoint Jesus in order to be praised or seen by others. She did not anoint Jesus because she was seeking a reward. She did not anoint Jesus because she was trying to earn his love and mercy. No. Even though as a sinner she was not worthy of anything from the Father, she has gone on to receive her eternal reward, all for the sake of Jesus whom she anointed. In the same way, you are also called to love God by loving and forgiving others in whatever situation the Lord puts you every day. You are set free from the enslaving misjudgment that you should do good works either to be praised by men or to be justified by God. In Christ, you receive temporal and eternal rewards that you could never ever earn, but receive by grace alone. So on this Ash Wednesday, and every day for that matter, repent of your sins and believe the good news that Jesus is your Savior. And then rejoice. Rejoice that you have been forgiven and that you're holy in the eyes of the only one who judges justly. Amen.